want to ask you this question. What are you putting in? What are you putting in? And I want to say this right up front. It is critical that you understand how important, and what am I talking about? Putting in what? Putting in your mind and into your heart and into your life. Nice. Guys, I feel like I'm too loud because I'm going to raise my voice a little and I need to be able to do that. What are you putting in? Now, I have a statement at the beginning, but I want you to catch this statement and I want you to write it down, matter of fact. And it's a little longer than normal, but I've got some real important components that you need to understand. And here's what I'm saying. Whatever, notice, you are allowing. People think they just, whatever, you know, no. I'm just full of trash because I just am, you know what I mean? No. How many know when you get in the car, you turn on the radio? How many know you select what is going to be on the radio? Amen? How many know you select whether you're going to come to church on Sunday or Wednesday? How many know you make a decision what you're going to listen to, what you're going to hear, what you're going to look at? Amen. Whatever you are allowing to come in, your ears and your eyes, somebody say ears and eyes, will come into your mind and soon in your heart. Whatever is you're allowing to come in your ears and your eyes, it will come into your mind, and eventually that will be what's in your heart. And whatever is in your heart will eventually, and let me say this about eventually, it doesn't take very long many times. It will eventually affect and determine, even determine your life. That's why the Bible says, protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life, the boundaries. We'll look at a couple of versions later on of that verse. But it will eventually affect and even determine your life. That is why it is so critical for you to monitor and take inventory of what is in your heart and what you are allowing in your heart. It is absolutely critical that you take inventory of what's in your heart and what you are allowing. Somebody say allowing in your heart. Allowing. Now, what is the connection to your heart? How do you allow something to come into your mind? How does it come in? Two ways. I already told you. Tell me again. What are the two ways that it comes in? Say your eyes. And my ears. Here, let me prove that to you. How many like a pastor that will not only say a truth, but show you and sustain it in the Word of God? Amen. How many like that? Yes. How many know that I'm not that smart? See, that your guys are kind, you know. How many, put it in a positive. How many know there's someone way smarter than me? Watch it. I heard somebody say a lot of people. Who said that again? But how many know God is smarter than all of us? And I don't want to stand up here and tell you how to run your life. Why? Because I don't know how to run your life. But I know this. I know if we will run our life according to the Word of God, His ways are higher than our ways. Amen? And we have a society. You know, they teach you how to teach millennials. And they'll say, well, just be relational. You know what I mean? Which is true. Amen? How many know this church has actually developed a good relationship with millennials and young people? And why did we do that? Because we put a lot of effort in it. It's not, it doesn't just happen. We put a lot of effort in it. But you know what? But many times, you know what, with younger kids and even older kids, you know what? They don't want to understand there is an authority. Well, I'm here to say I'm a preacher of the gospel. And as a preacher of the gospel, I'm going to tell you what, you're not as smart as you think you are. And I'm not as smart as I think I am. But God is smarter than all of us. Oh, yeah. And if we will look and follow His ways, we're gonna walk in way smarter than we know to be by ourselves. That's right. Does that make sense? Yes. And we have to make inventory. But what do we have to pay attention to? Our eyes and our ears. Why? Because our eyes and our ears are connected to our mind, and our mind is connected to our heart. Can we sing it? You know what? Our eyes are connected to our... Okay, we don't have to sing it. You get it? But your eyes and your ears are connected to your mind, and your mind is connected to your heart. And from your heart, you're gonna do some things. You're gonna say some things. And when you say some things, you're gonna do some things. And when you do some things, you're gonna reap a harvest. So all we have to do is come back to this beginning and solve this issue. If we solve this issue, we're going to, you know, like the farmer goes out, oh, no, I hate corn, I hate corn, I hate corn. Why would I have corn? Well, why don't you go back and see if you hate corn, why do you keep on sowing corn seeds? Does this make sense? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go back. Now, let me prove it to you very, very quickly. Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. The lamp of the body is the what? The eye. If therefore the eye is good, the whole body is going to be full of light. What's he saying? The lamp of the body is the eye. He's saying part of the connection to the heart, your whole body. That's what the heart represents. The core of who you really are is your eye. Everybody say your eye, okay? And watch this, and your ears. Somebody say my ears. He also said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed. There's nothing been kept secret that should not come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And let me ask this question. When Jesus said this, do you think there were some people who had ears and some people who didn't have ears? And Jesus is saying, hey, you, all you who have ears, you know what? Listen to what I'm saying. And then you guys who don't have ears, well, I don't even know what you're doing here. Do you think that's what he was saying? No, he's saying, listen, he's trying to point out how important what he's saying is. He's trying to point out, listen, there's a connection between your ears and your mind and your mind and your heart. So pay attention to what I'm saying. Does that make sense? So what connects to your heart? My mind. What connects to my mind? My ears and my eyes. That's the gateway in which this stuff comes in. You know what I mean? Okay, so now that we've established that, I want to talk about three ways to protect your heart. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about what are you putting in? Because whatever you put in is eventually going to dictate what you're going to do. And what you do is going to eventually dictate how good your life is going to be. Amen? Amen? Amen. You say, but Pastor, you don't understand. I was raised like this. I was. You know what? I was. And you tell. And you can tell me all about the negativity in your life, and all about, you know, how dysfunctional your parents were, and all that stuff. And we are living. I teach you this all the time. We're living in a victim society, and you have to teach your kids and teach yourself to stay away from that spirit of victimization. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I got too many stories. You can't tell that to me. You can't tell that to me. I went to Pioneer High School. You can't tell that to me. Amen? That was like a joke. Okay, anyway. But here's what I'm saying. You can't tell that to me. Listen, there's too many stories. You know what? I know about Clarence Thomas. Yeah, who's that? Well, you know what? Look it up when you get home. He's a judge. He's one of the 9 Supreme Court judges. You know what? And this man, you start listening. You know what? Start educating yourself on what kind of life he lived. And you'll soon recognize you have no place to talk about how poor you were. Amen? How many were raised poor? Raise your hand if you were raised poor. I was raised poor. You said, poor? What do you mean poor? I mean, you know what? That my mom used to buy round steak. Well, you know what round steak is? A steak that you should just throw away. Amen? And she would buy it for cheap, and she would, we had this thing. It was kind of called a tenderizer. So you buy steak that you really should feed to the dogs, and you just hit it enough times, and it tenderizes it. Well, she needed to get a bigger hammer or get somebody else to hammer that stuff. It tasted so awful that she would put lemon on it to try to fix it. Amen. God, I'm telling you, it was not fixable. Amen. Why would she do that? Because we're on such a limited budget. You know, why did we buy, 13 cents pot pies? You know what? I mean, why didn't she buy a real pot pie? You know, Marie Callender's makes a real pot pie. I never forget that. I always, this is a true story. I always hated pot pies. You know, we'd go to Marie Callender's and Tamara would order a pot pie. And she'd eat it. And I was like, what's wrong with her? You know what I mean? No, not what's wrong with her. What's wrong with me? Amen. Why didn't you like pot pies? Because I'd been raised on these 13 cent Swanson pot pies. Amen. I don't know what they put in them. But you know what? Mostly sauce. You know what I mean? So you had to get your magnifying glass out to find the chicken in the pot pie. I said, chicken's in here. Where is it? Man, I never forget. You know, I don't even know why I did it. But I never forget. I was with Mark Lambert, and we were at Marie Callender's up in West Covina. And for whatever reason, you know what? I wasn't very hungry. That's why. And it was pot pie and a salad. I thought, I'll go for it. So I ordered this pot pie. I tasted it. I was like, oh, my goodness. Pot pies are good. So what's your point? My point is get off of the victim mentality. Yeah. Amen. So I want to teach you, three ways. But you're going to have to learn how to protect your heart. You're going to have to learn how to protect your heart. Why? Because out of that, I don't care how impoverished you were. I don't care about all the junk that went on. If you will learn to empty out your junk, then you're going to open up your vessel to be able to start putting in good things in your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody look at your neighbor and say, empty out the junk. Okay. Three ways to protect your heart. Number one. Three ways to protect your heart. Number one. Here's what you need to do. You need to vomit the junk up. Amen. So, Pastor, that's kind of graphic. That's kind of gross. You know what I mean? Vomit it up. You ever been in bed and you're just like you ate too much or you ate something funky and you're lying in bed and you're like, and you're like you're there for 20 minutes and you're there for 40 minutes and then you're there for an hour and 20 minutes. And what you really should do is just get up and throw up. Okay. Nobody wants to admit this. How many have thrown up? And when you throw up, it's better. All of a sudden, you're like, got rid of it. Oh, you go back to bed, and boom, you're good. Amen? Come on, Shapasta, this isn't very spiritual. Oh, this is very spiritual. Amen? Amen? How many recognize it's hard to vomit delicately? Amen? Listen, when I vomit, I wake up the whole house. Tamara, is that not true? The whole house. Okay. But can I tell you what? We've got some stuff that we've got to get out. You know, when you're making a pie or something, you know what I mean? And there's the dog dish, you know what I mean? And you got all the crusty stuff, you know what, for the dog wasn't able to lick up. You know, ladies, you don't take that pan and say, oh, well, you know what, I'm just going to use this pan. You know, the lasagna dish. You don't just use that lasagna dish. It's got all the crusty lasagna, you know what I mean? You know, oh, well, you know what, I'll just use this. No, what do you do? Or if you do you use that dish, what do? First, you get rid of the junk. In our life, there's so much negativity. Why? Here's why. Not because you're negative people, but because you're alive. Amen? You know what? Many of you've lost jobs that were good jobs. You know what? You know, some of you have got a bad report from the doctor. Well, the doctor's told you, no, you're never going to get better. Some of you have gone through an ugly divorce. Some of you, you know what? The one person that you wanted to date, you know what? They left you for the dorky guy. Amen? And you're like, man, I mean, unbelievable. Hello. Some of you have had people, your best friends, stab you in the back. And I'm telling you what. Here's what you have to do. You have to get rid of that stuff. It's the first thing you have to do. You've got to get rid of the junk, because God can't fill you with what he wants to fill you if you keep on holding on to this stuff. Amen? You know, you ever done this? You ever done this? You ever gone to a buffet and you got the plate? And the truth is, you don't need a plate. You need a platter. You know what I mean? But they don't give you a platter, they give you a plate. So they give you a plate, and you and the first, what do you go through first? The salads, amen? And you're really hungry, and you know you should eat salad, but you know, you're like, eh, whatever, okay. So I'll put some salad, and then you see some fruit, and you put it for fruit, and then you see the some yogurt, you put the yogurt on there, then you see the Jell-O, and you know you're gonna get some Jell-O. And you look, and then all of a sudden you come, and then there's some steak and potatoes. And you're like, oh man, I got all this salad on my plate. Okay, here's what I'm saying. There's junk inside most of us, and it's junk. And God wants to fill you with this love, fill you with this peace, fill you with his kindness, fill you with his joy. Listen, he can't fill you with his joy if you're hanging on to the junk. He can't fill you with joy if you're going to hang on to unforgiveness. He can't fill you with peace if you're going to hang on to bitterness. He can't fill you with love if you're going to hang on to hatred. He can't do that. You have to, and you have to see it that way. You have to see that unforgiveness. Yuck. Hatred, yuck. You know what? Unforgiveness, yuck. Regret. If I just would have done it this way, you know, it would have been so much better. You got to get rid of it. How many know there's no time machine? Do you see a time machine? You see a time machine? Do you see a DeLorean somewhere? Amen? Some of you don't get that because... you were born too late, okay? But some of you get it. Are you catching what I'm saying? You got to get rid of the junk. You got to get rid of the junk. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Now, this might seem like a bizarre passage that I would turn to in teaching this, but I want to teach you this. There's all kinds of people coming with accusations against other people. Yeah. Junk. Amen? Junk. Stop listening to all kinds of trash. Ooh, did you hear what I saw, you know, Jane do and Fred do and Sally do and they're doing, you know, ugh. Amen? No, that's junk. You're tying yourself to gossip and trash. Yeah, but it's true. Yeah, well, listen, you shouldn't be talking about it. You want to say something nice? You know what? Say something nice. Amen? And listen, catch this. Oh, I don't say anything. Yeah, but you listen to all the trash. Well, I'm not a gossiper. I never say. No, but you sit there and listen to that gossiper talk and talk and talk. You know what? You're a gossiper. Gossipers talk and gossipers listen. Amen? And those of you who walk into self-righteousness, oh, I never gossip. You know what? But you're the quickest to, you know, turn on the phone to that person, and you know all they're going to speak is trash. You got to get rid of it. Does that make sense? Yeah. Number one, you got to get rid of it. Number two, you know what you got to do? You got to put something healthy in. Oh, amen. You know, don't just turn off the TV. Turn the channel, amen? Don't just get rid of the junk. How many know, if all you do is get rid of the junk, all you have is an empty bowl, amen? Ooh, look what I cooked for you. Nothing, amen? No, you don't want nothing. You want something good. Amen. Put something good inside. Amen. Does that make sense? No, there's all kinds of good stuff. You don't want, and you're so used to the taking in of the junk, the taking in of the junk, the taking in of the junk. You know what? We see lives changed in 1 month. In 1 month. You know what one of the critical components to Academy of Righteousness is? Stop, turn off the TV, turn off the internet, turn off all the stuff that you just fill your stuff with. We call it junk intake. Turn it off. And for 1 month, everybody say 1 month. In level one, we restrict your junk intake to 2 hours. Oh, 2 hours a day? No, 2 hours a week. 2 hours a week. And we have people who's like, ooh, Pastor, I didn't know I had, I never would have signed up for this class if I would have known I can't watch 8 hours of TV a week. Listen, 8 hours of TV a week is not the problem. The problem is the 8 hours that is on the TV. Do you understand? The programming that's on the TV. Are you learning something? And we see lives absolutely transformed in 1 month because we have the integrity. And listen, we don't monitor it. This is self-monitored. But people stand up, step up to the plate and say, I'm gonna take that commitment. For a month, I'm only going to listen to 2 hours worth of junk intake. And then what we do, but we don't just tell them not to put the junk intake. Then we give them teachings. What do you think the $40 and the $25 for MP3s are? They're teachings, jugular teachings that we're going to give you and say, hey, listen, now you get to listen to teaching series that I've taught, you know what, about important subjects in the Word of God, and we're going to turn off the television, but we're going to turn on the Word. And in 1 month, people's lives are absolutely transformed. Why? Because they're protecting their heart. How are they protecting their heart? Number one, they got to vomit the trash up. Number two, you got to start putting good stuff in. Who came to Wednesday service? Wednesday service. Who came to Wednesday service? Wednesday, you know, Pastor, you're braggadocious. Whatever. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. But Wednesday's teaching was so off the hook awesome. Here, it's going to sound braggadocious. Do yourself a favor today. You know what? Before you turn on the television and listen to the same old junk, you know what? Get on the website. Go to www.discoverhope.us. Go to our media page. Pull it on down and just click and listen to the preaching on Wednesday. Get in a habit of using this. Pastor, I don't understand why you have that on here. Here's why. Because I want you. Here. I want you to see this always. Blah, 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 blah. See it. See it. See? Listen, I'm purposeful. I understand the power of the Word of God. Hello. Okay. Number one, you know what? Get rid of the junk. Number two, start putting good stuff in. Start putting good stuff in. Look at this. Look at this. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are a good report. What does it say? Look. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know what happened to me this week. Pastor, you don't know what happened to me. Listen, I know. I don't know, but I know. I know. I know. Some of the things that have happened to you in the last 3 months are absolutely horrendous. Here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. Pastor, why aren't you upset today? You know, did you not watch the game last night? They were ahead 4-0, and then they gave it up. And then the night did it. Did you see that? It was so. Why aren't you upset? Here's why. This is deep. Ready? Because I ain't thinking about it. That's how come. I ain't thinking about it. Amen. What are you thinking about? I just think about what's good. Amen. I'm thinking, hey, I'm just saying, don't throw anything at me. Don't write me no letters, okay? Because I love the Dodgers, amen? I love the Dodgers. I love Tommy Lasorda. You know what? I love all that, okay? You understand? Okay. But here's what I'm saying. You know what? I just think of something good. You know what? You know, I get in bed and say, ooh la la, man. My wife loves me, amen? Dodgers lost, but my wife loves me, amen. Dodgers lost, but I ate a good pizza made out of cauliflower last night, amen. Amen. I pastor the most awesome church that I know. Are you kidding me? You know what I mean? I mean, you can just go on and on and on with all the blessings. Who's got time? You know what I mean? And if you really having trouble, how many like when Christians win? Amen? How many know there got to be some Christians on the Red Sox, right? There's somebody on the, praise God, some Christians won last night. Amen? How many know there's somebody saved? Where are the Red Sox from? How many know there's somebody saved in Boston? Amen? How many know there's some pastor who was like, yay, amen? Well, let me rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Amen? And let me weep with those who are weeping. And I'll cry with you a little bit. But I ain't going to cry very long because I got too many things. Listen, it's too important. And some of you have gone through some things that are horrific. And Satan would just cause you to just say, focus on it. Focus on that lost job. Focus on that bad report. Focus on that. Listen, you can't afford to focus on that. You got to empty out the trash. Man, I got a great house. Can I tell you one of the reasons I got a great house? Is because every day, sometimes three times a day, I go to the trash can and I get it and I take it out and I put it far away from my house. Why? Because if I don't put the trash far away from my house, then guess what? The beautiness of my house will start to stink. You ever seen that? You ever seen that that show? I think it's called Hoarders or something like that, or like crazy people who can't throw anything away. You ever see that show? And it's crazy. It's like, you know what? You know the guy's going to the house. Well, you know, and then they try to throw this stuff away. Listen, they try to. You know, you've seen the show. They try to throw it away, and they're like, and it's like some crazy, like piece of like a cup. You know what? From like In-N-Out, like 8 years ago. And they're like, no, because that's a cup, man. Hello. And you think, this is craziness. Because what is it? What is it all? It's all junk. It's all trash. And the person who's looking at it is recognized, this person has a mental disorder. Hello? Look at your neighbor and say, I know he's not talking about you. Can I tell you what? We have a spiritual disorder when we keep these things that God wants us to release. Selfishness and hatred and bigotry. And you know what? And you're like this and I'm like this and I'm better than you because I'm of this color or because I'm of this race or because, you know what, I drive a nicer car or the opposite. You know what? Well, you're like this because you drive a nice car. Listen, it is gross. If you drive a nice car, praise God. You know what? Let me borrow it. Amen. 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 I'm serious. You know what? And if you don't drive a nice car, praise God. You know what? You got something to get to church. Who cares? We make all these things and we judge people based on this outward appearance. And let me tell you what, in our country, we're not getting better at that. We're getting worse at that. Oh, somebody say amen to this. Amen. We're not getting better at that. We're getting worse at that. We're saying this group is like this and that group is like that. And because it's biblical. It makes sense. It's biblical truth that I look forward to a time in our country that we would not judge men by the color of their skin, but by their character. That's what I look forward to. And that's what I do because I don't care. You're like this and I'm like this and you're like this because you're this color and I'm like this because I'm this color. You know, it's just so much stupidity. And we're allowing, Satan to talk us into this stuff. It's trash. We got to get rid of it and we got to start putting God's wisdom. God is not a respecter of persons. Amen. 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 Are you learning something? Are you learning something? All right, well, we will continue this next week. Amen? I'll try it again. We will continue this next week, okay?
We need to be a grateful people, amen? We forget what we have sometimes. As we're finishing up the offices, I'm just looking forward to putting up our missions wall that we can all see what it is. I know what it is, and Pastor June knows what it is, and those of you who were here on the weeks that we've talked about it, you know what it is, but time is short when we come together. It goes by so fast, and to be redundant and continually go over, what we as a church are doing in our community and trying to do, in our society, there's just not time to continually go over it. So what we want to do is try and put up like a missions wall that we can see what we as a people are doing to be outside of ourselves and not about just ourselves. It's interesting, the pastor said this morning when he used the word submission, and he said, this is a bad word. And I thought, that is a Christian word. If you don't like submission, check that you don't have some kind of strange fire Christianity going on. Because you cannot have the Christianity that Jesus Christ taught without loving and embracing submission. It's part of who you are. It begins with us submitting our ways to Him. Did Jesus not say that over and over? Nonetheless, not my will, but your will, God. And that's us too. It just begins right there. It begins and ends with submission. And so it's interesting that a pastor can say in a church, okay, I know submission, we don't like this word, it's a bad word. Not as believers. As believers, our minds ought to be renewed to the truth that our Christianity begins and ends with submission to what God, to God's ways, what He says, what He thinks, not what we think, not picking and choosing. So the missions wall, as we get that up there, that we can see what we're part of, and we need to be part of so much more. We have to look at our lives and be sure that we are fulfilling the gospel truth that you are the hands and the feet of Jesus and the mouth. That's us. And we need to see what we're doing and then see what more the Lord would have us do, that we would continue on that road. We can get so caught up in things that are so non-important. It is really sad. People will literally be mad or depressed because the Dodgers lost. No. I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny. like watching the game, it's exciting and it's fun and it's the entertainment that it is, but it's not a reason to be mad. It's not a reason to set God aside. And it's certainly not a reason to be depressed.
Amen. There it is.
I was waiting. I kept the TV on last night because as Pastor Drew went to sleep, Megan wasn't home from work yet, and I wanted to stay awake. I wanted to see when she came in, and I actually ended up dozing off and having to get up and check, and okay, yeah, her car's here, she's home, and okay, good. But when I got up, the TV was still running, and there was a lady on the screen. I was telling Pastor about her this morning. It was her and her husband, and it was a Christian show that I had on, and her and her husband, and she was sharing her story of how she, there was some kind of a car accident, and she ended up in a full body cast. Five of her vertebrae were broken in her back. She was talking about the fact that she has a metal plate in her back, and her nose and her cheekbones were just shattered, and so it took all kinds of reconstructive surgeries to put her face back together. And her husband, I mean, the joy that exuded these two people as they sat there sharing their testimony of what they had gone through. And he said, the husband began to speak, and he said, I think one of the worst things for me was that as my wife is in a full body cast, and you know, they showed a picture of her. I mean, her face is just an ever-loving mess because she has no bone structure. She has no nose. And he said, I had to walk into the hospital room at that moment and tell her that our 7-year-old son had passed away, who was also in the car. And I stayed up watching the Dodger game just before I went to bed, and I certainly have done enough years with the Dodgers to see what I'm talking about with people. And so when I woke up and that was on, I was like, wow. And people will be sad and depressed because the Dodgers lost. People, you know what? There's all kinds of things going on out there. Hey, life happens to everybody. You know what? And you know what we really need to do? We need to just be about encouraging and loving and helping people through those dark times, whatever they are. Because although I don't know her, and I wasn't there when that was happening in her life, I'm around people all day long that all kinds of things are happening to. And we just need to do everything we can to be grateful for all that we have, to recognize, I don't know who used to, someone in my life used to tell me this all the time, I don't even know who it was, but I know it's so familiar to me, maybe it was my mom's mom. There's always somebody who's worse off than you. And so wherever you're at, just meditate on that which is good. And be sure that you don't let your heart become full of division and bitterness and all these things, that we can just continue to move forward in being the body of Christ and being the hands and the feet that he calls us to be. Amen.